May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hope you like that little hymn. It's years since we've sung that, but it goes back to sort of Sunday school days, which is... And I think we all know it, even though we probably only sang it 20 years ago. But there you go, it's a lovely tune, and a nice message that it has. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas, and a start to a very peaceful and happy new year. I wonder what you got as presents. I tried to buy presents thoughtfully for people, and I tried to buy them in Bedford as part of the Buy in Bedford campaign. Hunting around. This is in spite of the many bargains which you can find on the internet, especially if you sign up for easy fundraising on thisischurch.com or clicking on that little Amazon link on the front page of the church website. Remembering never to go to Amazon without going through the church website. So I bought a nice bottle of wine from St. Cuthbert's, some Christmas poultry from a farm in Thurlow, and a voucher from a local pub. These are the sorts of presents that I was buying this year. Times I thought might be hard for retailers. So I said to one shop assistant, "How's it been?" And she said, "Well, a bit quiet in some ways before Christmas. Wasn't, you know, hectic. But since Christmas," said, "it'd gone mad. Lots of people buying all kinds of things." And then she said something very, very interesting. She said, "But we'll have to see how much of it comes back." I thought about that, and I said, what do you mean, comes back? She says, "Well, what happens is people bring it back, and they want refunds." I said, "Well, why would they do that?" She goes, "Oh, well, what happens is that people go through Christmas, and it's all sort of, you know, jolly and fun, and then the credit card statement lands on the mat after Christmas, and they think, oh, I'd better take it back." And that seemed really, really sad. After the wonderful fun of Christmas, the harsh realities of life suddenly come into sharp focus. And in a sense, that's what happens today in this part of the Nativity story, as we remember Epiphany. No sooner have we had the really good news of the birth of the baby, the angelic choirs sing the Saviour's birth, and then we're face to face with the visit of the Magi, which we remember today. Well, it's the 6th of January, really, Epiphany, but of course we have to pick the right Sunday to celebrate it on, because we don't all want to have to come back in the middle of the week. So Sunday today is when we celebrate this Epiphany, taking its word from the Greek epiphane, which means manifestation or revelation, unveiling, appearance. And the appearance which is made is not just of the baby Jesus, but it's the fact that Jesus is revealed to all people. Not just to a small group of people, the Jewish people, but to all people. Remember that God's grace is shared with other races and other creeds. God caring about all creation that he's made. And so these Magi are symbolic of this. The fact that they travel from the east, the fact that they're not God's people, the Jews, they've come from far and wide, and that's the message which is made known at Epiphany. That's what it's all about. It's a fulfillment of that promise made to Abraham that through him all nations would be blessed. It wouldn't be restricted anymore. God transcending gender and religion and colour and all of those things. So on the face of it, Epiphany and the visit of the Magi is a really good news story, good news for all people. However, it's also got this really dark side. They come searching for the baby Jesus. Understandably, they go to Jerusalem, the home of the king, and they say that they're looking for a new king. And Herod, as we all know, was a butcher. And he doesn't like the idea of a new king. And so he decides that he's going to really try and wipe out this threat to his authority. And we have this order to kill all of the male children under 2 around Bethlehem. So it's a sad day. It starts off with the wonderful news of Jesus being shown to all the people. And it ends in a bloodbath. So no sooner is Christmas, had all its joy and happiness, then all of a sudden it's like the statement from the credit card company arriving on the mat, and you suddenly realise it's not so much fun after all. Here's the baby being welcomed into the world in the face of the wrath of Herod. The Magi bring with them clues of what's really going on. We read in the passage from Isaiah, and there's no need to look at it now, but the people who put together the lectionary, they sometimes do have a method in their madness. And in the Isaiah passage that we had read from the Old Testament by Janet, it said, "And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." Well, that was the historic idea. Gold for the king would be brought forward. Frankincense, this wonderful symbol of priest and temple, would be brought forward. But of course, the Magi don't just bring gold and frankincense. They also bring with them myrrh. And that was a real problem. Have any of you seen the light? I won't ask you to put your hands up, because The Life of Brian attracted a mixed response, I think, at best, from the Christian community. But there is a scene in The Life of Brian in which the mother of the baby is in the stable and these visitors turn up. And those of you who have seen it will remember that she welcomes, that when she finds they've got these gifts of gold and frankincense, she says, "Oh, come in." And she takes these wonderful gifts of gold and frankincense. And then she says, "Well, when you visit next time, you needn't bother bringing the myrrh." The point being that myrrh was a gift that you would put in a cupboard and perhaps bring out for the tombola. It wasn't something that it was something that was reminiscent of death. Myrrh was an ointment. Do you remember myrrh being spoken of when Jesus was on the cross? They brought him a mixture of myrrh. And do you remember Nicodemus buying the myrrh to anoint the body of Jesus? This was a symbol of death and suffering. And so we have this tradition of gold and frankincense, but into this tradition now comes myrrh, which is a hint to us that all is not going to be plain sailing in the life of the baby Jesus. This is a symbol of death and of suffering. Much of what's been special about the baby Jesus so far is now brought to us as being, ooh, there's a sting in the tail. These magi, I don't know how they knew what they knew. They'd used their astrology to be led to this place. It had taken them 9 miles close to where the baby was. They'd naturally assumed it would be Jerusalem. Of course, it ended up as Bethlehem. But what a world of difference those 9 miles made from Herod's palace to Bethlehem and the kinds of life which this baby was going to have. I don't know if you've been following this. Did you ever follow the stars? I sometimes look at the stars. I don't follow horoscopes. I think they're hocus pocus and don't pay much attention to those. But I love looking at the stars. And I've got a wonderful app on my phone now, which you switch your phone on, and this little app, and you hold your phone like that. And this app, an app is an abbreviation for application, for those of you who don't do all these things. It's something you download to your phone, you hold it like this, and it's got a little compass built into it, and it replicates the sky that you're looking at that particular moment, and it tells you what's visible and what isn't visible. And as you turn around, you can see it's fascinating little gadget, and it shows you what you're looking at. Just recently, when I've looked at the sky, and there's been a really brilliant star up there, and I thought, what on earth is that star? It's sort of standing out so clearly in the sky, and I got my app out, and it told me that it was Venus. And Venus has been this bright, it's not a star, it's a planet, isn't it? Yes. Oh, it wasn't Jupiter, it wasn't Venus, it was Jupiter. Sorry, yes. Was it Jupiter, was it? Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, I remembered it was a planet, and it was very, very bright, and it stood out in the sky, and Corinne, who knows all these things, She would tell me before I looked at it what it was. But this, it's very, very good. It stands out beautiful and clearly. And the Magi, of course, were able to do this, able to look at the stars. The time when I saw the stars most clearly in the whole of my life was when I was fishing. And this was in Sweden. And as you sometimes do when you're fishing, you know, you cast out your bait and you have to wait for an hour or two before you bring it back in again and cast it out. And so I was lying in the, it was at night or when it was after the sun had set. And I was lying on my back looking at the stars, and it was just so clear, the sky. You could see shooting stars all over the place. I've never seen shooting stars before. And I must have seen, you know, sort of a dozen or more just lying there as I was fishing. Of course, the reason why I was able to see all of these wonderful things wasn't that all of a sudden these things were happening in the sky and they weren't happening before. That the stars and the planets are always there. The point about it was that I was in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness of Sweden, and that it was really dark. And you haven't got all this ambient light which sort of mucks up our vision of the sky at night. And so it was the darkness that allowed me to see more clearly the light which was around. And I suppose Christmas and Epiphany are a little bit like that. As the fizz of Christmas disappears and we switch off all the lights and the tinsel and it all goes back in the box, we're left with the harsh realities of life. And it can sometimes seem, and I guess for many people, there will be really dark times ahead, not just the financial dark times, but all that goes with the normal existence of life. And the sky can seem around us incredibly dark. And we can, perhaps as we're going into 2011, look at it with a touch of foreboding. And yet we remember, as Christians, that no matter how dark it becomes, the light of Christ will shine more brightly because of that. And as we go forward into 2011, our resolution as Christians is to place our eyes firmly fixed upon Christ, looking at the light of Christ, which will guide us as it guided those magi to the place of worship with Christ. And as we do that, we know that is the right path for our lives in the days ahead. No matter how dark it will become, Christ will keep us in the right direction. Amen.